This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's just a reminder there's a lot of things involved in this. As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't.
That's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show, courtesy of ESPN, just yesterday, Ed. He said he doesn't have that kind of power. It's interesting that you all think he does, and he had nothing to do with his head coach, former now head coach, being fired. You believe him?
No, I don't, actually.
Called a man a liar.
I didn't. You asked if I believed him. I don't. I can't believe this is, and especially the show that he chose to do this on. That's his butt buddy.
Well, doesn't he go in there all the time?
Yes. That's what I mean. This is not like an impartial, sports reporter. This is where he chose to do this, and he's just saying, I have nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, he said butt buddy.
Do you have a butt buddy?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah.
Jeremy, do you believe him?
Come on, man. Come on.
And you two have both called him a liar.
Because he is.
Do you believe him?
This is a guy.
No, I don't believe him.
This is a guy that wants to pass the buck. It's never his fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And then the whole story of Woody Johnson's like, yeah, I met with Aaron Rodgers last night, but we didn't talk about it. You didn't bring up the coach at all. You didn't bring up the loss in London and whose fault that was. Come on, man. This guy, like, just go on air and say, yeah, we had a conversation. I don't make those types of decisions. Mm-hmm. But to say you didn't talk about it, it's just a bold-faced lie.
Don't you ever give him the double Heisman? It pushed him away, gave him the stink eye.
And he's been that way. Like, if you didn't watch the London game, that SOB was sitting by himself the entire time while the offense is over there. He's not talking to him. He's garbage.
Wasn't it the same way with LaFleur?
Yeah, he's garbage.
He has a vendetta against
him. He really does.
I don't have a vendetta. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks
ever. Look at his face. It's changing. Contorting.
Every time you talk about him, isn't it?
He's a douchebag. Anyway,
this is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the call with Woody Johnson.
Woody called me on Monday night. We had a short conversation. I appreciated the call. It was a genuine call, and he just asked me how I was doing. Obviously, I got rolled up on in the game. My ankle got pretty banged up, so he just called and was asking how I was doing. We talked about the game and how disappointed I was in my performance and that I'm going to play better and we're going to get this thing turned around. And then we hung up. To that point, Woody has no obligation to let me know of what his plans are. Whether or not he knew what he was doing in that moment is inconsequential. I just appreciated the call that he was checking on me. It was just like a friend call, like he would do. Hey, man, I saw that hit in the game. You doing okay? And
shut up. Shut up, you lying son of a bitch. You're telling me the owner called you and he's gonna fire the coach and he doesn't bring that up with you if that's what you're saying? He doesn't owe that to me. You think everybody owes everything to you. Selfish son of a bitch. That's what Aaron Rodgers is. I'm done.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want you to get upset because butt buddy.
He's not my butt buddy.
This is the first time I've heard of this.
You never heard that phrase before?
I haven't heard it since elementary.
Exactly.
old butt buddy over here dropping like, that's his butt buddy.
He dropped it like it was hot, like it was new. Like it was the end thing.
Who's that kicker for the Colts? Gay! That's who it was. He just drops a butt buddy in. Come on, man.
No, I don't believe him. It's not a good look for him. But at the same time, nobody's cringing when he responds because you expected that response from him.
Yes.
This is not even cringeworthy.
No. I expected nothing else. Nothing less. I think it was perfect. And I don't think he cares.
No,
you really think Aaron Rodgers cares what I think or any of us?
That's why I like him.
Yeah, no.
I don't like him for his actions. I like him for the fact that he doesn't care.
You like him. His family doesn't. His teammates don't. His ex-coach doesn't.
And you know what? If I had to be his teammate, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't like him.
He's an ass.
I like him from afar. 410-583-1057.
Hey, Aaron, stop throwing the ball to the other team.
Do you think he can turn it around?
I mean, he's that talented. Yes, of course he can. We thought he was turning it around in that Tennessee Titans game when it seemed like things started to click for him. And as you talked about, look at the division. Ain't nobody running away with it.
Yeah.
Playoffs, you're still in the picture. So they still have a very good roster and have to figure things out on offense and what the disconnect is. And I think a lot of it right now is Aaron Rodgers. And on top of it, if nobody's taken a peek yet, what happened to Breece Hall? He has been awful.
He's been, he really awful. Has.
Yeah.
And you can see, so in the London game, they brought in Braylon Allen, and Aaron Rodgers had a screen pass set up to him, and he probably led him just a little bit too much, and Allen couldn't come down with it. You see the look on Aaron Rodgers' face. Perfect pass. Catch the ball. You know, son of a.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go out to Baltimore and get Trippy. Trippy, what's up, man?
Hello. Hello. Hey, John, what you say? Aaron Rodgers need to what?
Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Aaron.
Look, man. Hey, man. Them Commander fans, hey, Jeremy, they must be thinking this is a game. They must be, I don't know why they think this is still preseason. Like,
I told you, they're drunk off success. They got a little bit of success. They don't know how to deal with it.
They're not used to being. They're not used to being relevant, man. They're not used to being relevant.
But look, right, Sunday gonna be great, man. I don't know what the weather gonna be like, but I'm gonna be in the stadium, and we gonna celebrate, man. We gonna roll them Peppa Pigs up out of our stadium, man.
So wait. So you got tickets?
I ain't get no ticket yet, but I'm praying.
He's
You're praying to get a ticket.
Hey. Yeah, man, you know, they say talk to God. God might answer my prayers, so, you know.
Well, somebody, you got to get in line. Other people pray.
You better hope God has an extra ticket.
Hold on, Robert Jeremy, I apologize. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Thank you.
Good morning. Hey, Ed, I hope everything is okay down in your home down in Florida, man.
Thank you for
I'm
that.
I'm praying for everybody, man. But
you got any extra tickets, Ed?
No.
Okay,
just checking. Look,
I may not have a house.
Right? I just wanted to say one thing, man. Man, Rashawn, you know, I saw Rashawn yesterday, man. I was out delivering. I looked to my left, I see Rashawn. I'm like, yo, what you doing right here, man? You know what I mean? Over there by Greenmount. But the Mets, man, the Mets looking good. And it's so sad because, hey, Rob, we should be talking about the Orioles beating the Yankees last night, but we got swept, man. It's sad, man. It's sad. But I ain't going to lie. Hey, Ed, I switched my mind, man. I'm going with your Mets, man. I hope the Mets
there you go.
This, man.
Yep. The easiest way to get disappointed, root for one of the teams Ed roots for.
Well, you can't accuse me of being a front runner.
Unless it's hockey. I think your hockey teams have won more times than I've seen.
Yeah.
Like your other good. Teams.
Let's go to Rice's Town and get Kai. What's up, Kai?
Hi, up, Kai.
Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
I'm a little teed off, a little pissed off because I hear the Dean Pease talk coming in when I tuned in. And I'm just like, man, Mr. Prevent defense? No, I don't want Dane Pease. You had a guy like Leslie Frazier out there at the beginning of the year, high character guy, elite communicator, and I think he fits well with Orr. And is this a John Harbaugh move? Because if this is a John Harbaugh move, we had, if you go back and look at the stats and the record with Dane Pease and when we had leads and how much prevent defense? I don't want to see Dean Pease, and I think that he gets the Ravens gets my shovel. Well, John Harbaugh, if he brought him in, I don't know.
What about if Zach Orr brought him in?
If Zach Orr brought him in, then I would have to rethink my whole concept about that. Not just Dean Pease, man. I'm not a fan of that guy, man. So
you say you don't like him?
You don't like Dean Pease, but you're absolutely head over heels in love with Leslie Frazier.
His butt buddy.
I don't know how much we can use. Can we keep using that term?
Why not?
Somebody's going to get offended.
Doesn't mean they're right.
That's true. You're good. You. Now I'm looking up Leslie Frazier. Why am I? Stop bringing his ass up. What does he have to do with anything? Kai's been talking about Leslie Frazier for 10 years now.
Reaction to Mike Elias from John Heyman's podcast at 7:30. But on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Ed Norris.
Yeah, I'm giving mine to FEMA.
FEMA,
yeah. I got some questions here.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
FEMA.
Look, everybody, unless you're living under a rock, you know that a once-in-a-lifetime storm has hit the Tampa Bay area, and it's ravaged Florida. I mean, it's been hard to watch, especially for me. I mean, I have a home down there, my wife's down there. It's just been tough. But what I don't understand, I mean, look, I understand, I'm not putting into all this, you know, the nonsense with Biden, Harris, seeded the clouds and all this other stuff. That's not about that.
Joe Poseidon.
Yeah. I mean, Joe couldn't put sugar in his coffee because he would seed the clouds. But what I don't get, and this really pisses me off even after Katrina, like, remember when Katrina hit and everybody knew, we told you. It wasn't prepared for this. Well, why did you do something then? And all those people died, right? Let me just read you something here after this. Now, Katrina was, 20 years ago. Tampa, Florida is the most vulnerable U.S. city to hurricane damage. Delays to floodwater defenses and relentless development only made the situation. For more than a century, they've avoided Florida's most destructive storms, all that. If you know they're vulnerable, it's the most vulnerable U.S. city to hurricane damage. Why didn't you do something about it? And I looked up FEMA. They're the ones responsible for hurricane preparedness around the country. So why would all the money we piss away around the world, dropping billions of dollars in foreign countries in duffel bags? Well, seriously, you can't take care of your own people?
Well, you know the Republicans in Florida voted against this. They voted against the FEMA relief. Yeah. There was a $20 billion
not
bill.
Not relief. I'm talking about the prevention of this.
Just getting ahead of it?
Yes. There's all the things they should have been doing 20, 30 years ago they're not doing. It says here, floodwater defenses is one of them. However they do it.
So when you were down there, like, is it ahead of time? Are they, like, obviously people are trying to get generators and bags of sand and things like that? Yeah. Like, are you talking, like, setting up stuff like that? Are you specifically saying, like, you could have so many things done?
No, like levees and stuff. Like, okay, the actual
that's what I'm asking.
Real water defense, not giving people generators. It's not going to matter with a storm like this.
No, I'm just saying, like, sandbags is the other thing that people
That's baby food. I'm talking about real...
Like Brett's bags of sand, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
How they feel.
Real floodwater defenses. It's nice you're joking that people have died.
Oh, stop it.
A lot of people. I just don't get it.
Jeremy Cullen.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the same line with Ed here with the people in Florida who, with their pets. I just don't get it, man. I understand there's certain circumstances where you have to make a tough decision of what we can do. Oh, I've got a ride here. I can get here, but I can't take my dog. I don't know what happens to people that are put in hotels that don't accept dogs. Can you just pay the fine, cats, whatever it may be? But by God, do not shackle your dog to a fence and then leave his ass.
That's crazy. Not even give him a chance. I mean, you go to abandon him, not give him a chance.
Yeah. There's a video. You can see it. It's all over social media of people doing that. And, I mean, come on. It's so disgusting. To watch human beings do this to other, you know, these are our pets. The dog, like, they're expecting you to take care of them. And it's sickening to see what kind of dog was it, a bull terrier that we saw that was chained to a fence?
Yeah.
Just despicable.
My shovel goes to people who don't understand traffic directions. So you guys are aware of up at Falls Road, where Falls Road loops around to lead you to 695?
Familiar with that area?
Yeah. Right up there by the highway department, state highway department. There's a sign there that says yield. It's not a stop sign.
Oh, my God.
It's a yield sign. Which means when you get to the sign, you don't stop. If you go past the yield sign, there is also a merge lane. There's a merge. Don't yield means look for traffic, avoid traffic, but keep it moving. And if you actually go beyond the yield sign, you know what people will do? They'll move over to let you in more often than not. But you get to this yield sign, and there's a line coming down the other part of Falls Road because people use the yield sign as a stop sign. Where did you learn to drive? There's a merge lane, folks. Go around, go beyond the yield sign, get into the merge lane, and keep it moving. These people stop.
The same thing you're talking about, that's pissed me off for years, especially going on 83 where you do have that entire lane you can drive down and merge. And as Rob said, most people, when they see you doing that, are going to get in the other lane
over.
And then just get right back over. How about the people when you're getting on 695 or 95 and then they're trying to get over and get onto the highway by going 25, 30 miles an hour? You have to speed up and then merge in. You don't like, and again, there's so many people that aren't even looking over until they get to the end. Like, oh, I couldn't get over. Let me stop now and put my signal on. And it's like, how the hell is anybody supposed to get over with your ass blocking
it? I don't understand it, man. I mean, like Jeremy, they like stop in front of the yield sign. Like, what are you? Okay, what are you waiting for here? What are you? You know, you got to bend to the right to merge into traffic. And again, there's a merge lane. Get to the end of the merge lane and keep it moving. Joe, you look like you look like I'm preaching to the choir over there.
Dude, I have to drive there every effing day. And when I will sit there and scream at you, have your own lane. I have almost rear-ended people because they stop so fast getting up to that and not understanding that, like, you can go around and then just kind of coast in there and you zipper
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
And then you'll have people, though, that are also coming up the other side that are like in that lane, like you have the merge lane and then you have the main lane right next to that, that freak out when you go into the merge lane. Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
This is on the heels of yesterday's meeting about the show. I think we rent an Airbnb for a weekend and live with Joe.
Oh.
Now you, what about
I get
that?
To be on top. Are there bunk beds?
Yeah.
Oh. Could you
no,
imagine
it's actually
this?
One bed.
Just picture this.
If I don't leave the house, I'm never in a bad mood.
What?
There's nothing. My house is perfectly curated, so nothing goes wrong.
What do you mean?
It's curated.
No, he wanted you to say it twice, like an update.
Where'd your mic go?
Well, I know one person's not making out of that house. Nice knowing you,
I don't understand
Jeremy.
How Jeremy's wife deals with him sometimes. I was like, I would wring your neck if I had to live with you 24/7.
Joe, I'm great in bed.
That's maybe that's what it is.
He means sleeping.
Yeah, no, I'm not good at that either.
Cordell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, reaction to what Mike Elias had to say on John Heyman's podcast in relation to signing players and re-signing players. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
Cordell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock. What's trending at 7:45? But right now, Mike Elias, he appeared on John Heyman's podcast, and he talked about the possibility of re-signing Corbin Burns.
We're talking here on this podcast. It's early, mid-October. Technically, no one's a free agent yet, so I must be careful about that. We made a major trade to bring in Corbin Burns coming off of the season we came off last year, getting a frontline starter was kind of what the doctor ordered for our team, or at least that was my estimation. With Corbin, you're not only getting talent, but you're also getting bulk. And he held up his end of the bargain. He threw 194 innings, was in the Cy Young conversation for most of the year, spun an absolute gem in the playoffs that we just didn't score for him. And it was impressive seeing him do his thing like clockwork, make every start over the full season. So, he's terrific. And, any team would love to have him. But there's a lot of business that goes into that. And, you know, somebody accrues 6 years of service in the major leagues, they earn rights. And we're going to have to go through the entirety of what comes next when that takes place. And there are steps this month that, we'll have to work through. But he was spectacular for us for most of the season. He was spectacular in the playoffs, and he has a very bright future.
He does have a very bright future. Depends on whether or not he's going to be here with the Baltimore Orioles.
Ed, you notice Mike Elias talks a little bit more about contracts and what they're going to do in the future now with this ownership group than he does in the past?
Yeah, sure does. I just think they realize they've got a, you know, incredible general manager of this team. And I think they're going to let him do what he needs to do, and they're going to fund it. I just think this is a different day. And I also like when you have an owner who's a fan.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's been a fan his whole life of this team. This is much – we have two teams. Like Bisciotti was the same way.
Yeah.
If you've ever been at a football game with Steve Bisciotti and they lose, not fun. He's a fan. But, I mean, I think that's good. I think it's good for the team.
Well, you know, he talks about why he's free and talking about – not only free agents, but long-term extensions to current players.
I think my read of this new ownership group is they have the wherewithal to allow us to run this franchise optimally. And there is a lot that goes into that. And, you know, you look at teams around the league from various market sizes, and there are different ways to run the team, but you just can't do everything that you want to do. Requires some measurement at times. All of that being said, you look at our group of young players right now. We do have an impressive young group that's been drafted here, homegrown, with good heads on their shoulders. And there are many of them where you look at them and you go, boy, I wish we had these guys longer than they're currently contracted for. And so that's a big part of the equation. We know that it's something that we work on quietly in the background, and I don't talk about what we're doing or not doing. It would certainly be front and center for a front office to be working on those things. But they're not easy to line up on, and effort doesn't always equate to results. But we very much love a lot of these players that we have, and we will be making every responsible attempt to examine ways to keep them if we think that's in the best interest of building the team long term.
Jeremy, your local allegiance is with the Orioles. Mm-hmm. Nothing against the Ravens. That's your local allegiance. Yeah. I've been to games with you. That's your they pull on your heartstrings.
I root for the Ravens, but again, the one team you could see tears coming down my face would be the Orioles. Good or bad.
And you, when he talked about optimizing, mm-hmm. you literally pumped your fist.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, it takes me back to the quote from Django Unchained when Leonardo DiCaprio goes, "Gentlemen, you had my curiosity, now you have my attention." And the fact that he's saying, like, we can optimize everything, doesn't mean you're going to get to keep everyone.
Does it always mm-hmm. equal?
That's the line I got.
Productivity.
And that's true because you have trade partners. Right. And if the other team's going to want to make the best deal for their organization, you can't always. I mean, you can have the best effort, the best, best ownership, best GM and all. Doesn't always work out.
Well, not only that, I think he's more talking about, I may want Gunnar Henderson right now to mm-hmm. extension, but Gunnar's got to want to do it like Bobby Witt wanted to do it.
Yeah, all of them. Trade partners, the players themselves. I mean, it's not just up to the team to do it.
I just think there's a lot of things that he said there that are good signs that we didn't have, with all due respect to the Angelos family, we didn't have it underneath that.
No, we didn't.
We didn't know who you were going to keep. And everybody was joking like, oh, enjoy Gunnar because he's going to look great on New York. And again, those things can happen.
Yeah.
But if that happens,
like giving them away.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like they will make a competitive offer to try to keep this guy. It might not be the best offer on the market, but we'll see.
No, I'm saying what you're saying. If Gunnar ends up in New York, it's not because we gave him away.
Yeah, yes.
It's because we put up a fight and Gunnar realized that was the best situation for him. I don't think that's gonna be the case though.
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna be if I could bet on one person spending most of his productive years in Baltimore, if I had to bet on one person, it would be Gunnar Henderson.
I hope he wants to be here because hell, I know the fans love him, the team loves him, and the more you build around him, because like we have a group of young ball players.
That's
and again, you said something last year about getting a veteran bat. Not making the right. The big splash right. And going, oh my God, we're trading for Vlad. But if they did, it'd be like, oh my God, this is awesome. Mm. But getting that bat in there because we had a lot of young players. And honestly, I think that's something we really need to look at in the offseason. I've heard people say it's James McCann's clubhouse. And I don't know if you feel that way.
No.
But I've heard people write that. And it's something we need to see them do it before fans really start to believe, like, oh, we're this type of team now. It started with the Corbin Burns trade. But it's like, okay, well, what else are we going to do? Because if he walks, then I think fans are going to be unbelievably upset.
Can I ask you guys a question? Mm-hmm. Did you ever read or hear that it was James McCann's clubhouse before he got plunked in the face?
No.
That's an emotional. That's media emotion. That's media emotion. You know, that if you had heard about that before, and it's James McCann is a leader in the clubhouse, but it's not his clubhouse. They also told you once upon a time that it was Trey Mancini's. And that wasn't true. That's because people write with emotion. And they
speak a lot of people say it's Santander's
clubhouse. It is Santander's clubhouse. No doubt about it. I will stand on that. It is Anthony Santander's clubhouse. Let's go to JT in Baltimore. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, man? I love the show.
Thank you.
And I did want to piggyback off of what you said, Rob. I called because you gave a shovel to the people that don't know how to merge into the highway. So that kind of triggered me because I hate that. And I go off like every day driving to work and stuff. The other thing I wanted to say, guys, just to give some Ravens fans a little bit of peace of mind, I think we give Zach Orr some time. I'm not a huge Dean Pease fan, but the one thing that I think can really help him, I think part of playing defense is getting lined up correctly and recognizing what could come just based off of formation. Because that Jamar Chase touchdown should have never happened. So coupled with the fact that I don't think we're lining up Roquan and Hamilton correctly, Dean Pease can kind of give Zach Orr some assistance.
A veteran set of eyes.
Yes. Yeah. And recognizing what could come based on the formation and how to deploy our guys in order to stop it. Because I think what Mike McDaniel did is he kept quarterbacks guessing so they can hold the ball. He would switch up man and zone so that it can give our guys some time to react.
JT would definitely disguise coverage. And I think for those people that are criticizing the move, Ed, they're thinking that Dean Pease is coming in to be the new defensive coordinator. I don't think that's what the move is about. Mm-mm. I think he's literally an advisor.
Yeah.
Give him a different way of seeing things and thinking about things. And that's, to me, there's nothing wrong with that.
But also dictating out responsibility is a big thing, right?
What?
Dictating out responsibilities for people, your linebackers coach, what someone's doing. So you're not doing too much. I think that's someone in leadership, I mean, you've done this, that you're going to have to figure out the right way to do it.
I just think it never hurts to bring in people who have done it before, who are successful. And, you know, and sometimes you bring in, especially somebody who's 75 years old, probably doesn't want to, you know, he's retired twice. I don't know how much longer he's going to be in the NFL, but he's 75 years old. He's done this before. He's got a lot of experience. I mean, he started coaching high school in 73.
Yeah.
He coached with Nick Saban. He coached with Belichick. Yeah. He's got a long history in the coaching world with, you know, some prominent people. I think it's a great, you know, it's a good thing to bring him in.
Jeremy, how much more did you learn working with Scott Garceau versus when you first started on your own?
It's so funny. It's so funny you bring that up because, like, as far as, and Scott told me this when he came to town, and, you know, they're older media members that kind of took him under their wing, and but like he just taught me there's different ways to present things,
right?
There's different ways to look at things and understanding. You know, I'm the type of person that, you know, we talk about pushing boundaries. That's something that they want me to do. I'll take a step over it and see what happens, see who reacts to it, like the old Belichick thing. But at the same extent, you know, I think a lot of that's important to learn that.
I mean, look at the influence that I've had over Ed Norris.
Cornell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock.
His mic flex, you said Norris show.
But on the other side, what's trending? MLB playoff recap up next on The Fan.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
That's courtesy of Mets Radio. The Mets go on to win this series 3-1 over the Philadelphia Phillies. They're waiting now for the winner of the Dodgers-Pirates series in the American League. Both series are 2-1. The Detroit Tigers are up 2-1 on the Guardians, and the Yankees are now up 2-1 on the Royals as that series, one more game in Kansas City. Now, the big news out of that series is Aaron Judge is 1-for-11 with 5 strikeouts.
That 0-91.
Yeah.
You suck, you jackass.
Yeah, I mean, and you heard one of the national guys say, well, you know, we talk so much about Aaron Judge and the slow start in the regular season. He turns it around to have a historic season. Yeah, he did. Because he had 162 games to pace that out. Yeah. You don't have that kind of time here. He could have 2 more games.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough time to turn it around. He needs to turn it around instantly.
Nice to win the MVP. I'd rather have a World Series.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'd much rather have a World Series ring.
So do the Yankees fans.
Yeah, and their Yankee teammates.
Yeah.
All of them, yeah.
Well, I think
Stanton steps up in the postseason. He doesn't do great during the season. Postseason?
Well, he's not there during the season because he's injured.
Yeah. Right. When the postseason comes, though, he turns it on somehow.
Yeah. I mean, he had 2 big hits last night that really helped him out, including the one that won the game, essentially. But it is weird to see a guy like Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge was, he wasn't what Barry Bonds was, but it was getting pretty close to how often he's hitting a home run. Mm. I mean, you look at home run odd props or whatever, if you're going to bet a home run for the day, like most of the time you're getting like plus 300 or it's going to pay 3-1. There were times where Aaron Judge was not even money, but just above it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's saying a lot. The same thing with Shohei too, but he had an incredible season. But this is Clayton what people Kershaw, are going to remember.
Yeah. Basically.
This is what they're going to remember. And it's interesting too, Rob, because today's pitching matchups, Tanner Bibee versus Reese Olson, Garrett Cole and Michael Wacha today. Wacha. We'll see what happens. These are return pitching matches. We've already seen these guys in the postseason. Right. Now we get to see them again.
Yeah, a real interesting series right now. Again, the Mets at home. They are waiting for the winner of this Padres-Dodgers series. Go Padres. Which is tied at 2.
Yeah.
So the only game 5 we have thus far is that series, and that's going to be tomorrow night from Los Angeles.
And Ed, this sets up even better for your Mets. Not that I'm sitting here trying to give you all this hope. I think the Mets are winning the World Series. Padres and Dodgers, they haven't listed the pitching matchup just yet on, as I'm looking at it. There might be some places that have it, but they're going to throw out everything that they can. They're not going to be able to set their rotation the way they want, and their rotation's poor right now outside of Yamamoto, Jack Flaherty, depending on what you think of those two, because...
Well, I heard Yu Darvish is going tomorrow for the...
Probably... you sure?
I think Yu Darvish and the... I think the Dodgers are undecided. I heard Yu Darvish.
Dodgers were undecided yesterday.
Yeah, they went to a bullpen.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they had no pitcher, you know, during the afternoon.
So. Think about what they've lost over the years. People forget about Julio Urias, the guy with the domestic... Yes. Like, he was an up-and-coming pitcher.
Mexican guy, right?
Yeah, domestic violence, like... off the charts domestic violence issues. And then on top of it, you lose Tyler Glasnow this year to the injury. You don't know what everything's going to look like now. I mean, they lost a lot of their starting pitchers. And even Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, you expected those guys to be in your rotation. Buehler's there, but he stinks.
Buehler. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Happy Friday, babe.
Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
You're looking good.
You're looking good.
Dewey Oils re-signed Anthony Santander to a new contract, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. I think there's a chance. I mean, you can't say emphatically yes or no, which in the past I think you could emphatically say no, knowing the man was going to make upwards probably of $25 billion a year. But I don't think you can say automatically say no right now. I don't.
It's tough. I mean, like I kind of agree with you. It's hard to say no.
Because I think they know how much they
need. I've always had that problem.
Yeah.
I think they know how much they need them. And I think financially they have the wherewithal to maybe get it done. It's got to be mutual. But, you know, if he's interested in a bidding war with somebody just going to. Sometimes guys have, this is what I want. And if that team that they're playing for meets those needs, then they stay. Some guys are like, I'm going to the highest bidder. If that's the case, then we might not get Santander back.
Let me throw this at you, and I may have asked this before. If you had your choice of one or the other, who are you taking?
Santander.
I'm taking Burns.
100%.
I'm taking Santander.
You have to have pitching.
Well, you have pitching. You don't have pitching like that. Guys got to come back.
I believe Bradish is
that guy. I don't have another Santander in the organization right now.
You don't have another Burns either.
I got front of the line starters. I do. We saw in the playoffs. You need to score runs.
Our problem with this is I don't know there's a right or wrong answer. Rob being around the clubhouse, understanding the importance of Santander and what he did last year, but also like you can't argue with a frontline pitcher, I don't know that you could pitch any better unless he just doesn't give up the one run after walking a guy that steals a base and giving up a best hitter to the Silver Slugger Award winner.
We saw last night, Phillies up 1-0, over with runners in scoring position. Mets had that one opportunity, won the game. You got to have hitters. You got to have some hitters.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, that's the number. World is Stupid at 8:30, but on the other side, Cordell Woodland joins us. Talking some Baltimore Ravens football up next on The Fan.